Will committing suicide send a person to hell? That's the question we're going to tackle on today's episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We're currently in a series taking questions from listeners just like you. You can get your questions answered by sending us an email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin. And what's that on your shirt, Sean? Are those lizards?
They're lizards. This is my...
That is funny.
This is my birthday present.
Your wife gave you a lizard shirt?
She got me a lizard shirt. I'm lucky if I get anything for my birthday, but she bought a lizard shirt.
Don't say that.
I didn't get a card for Father's Day, even.
Oh, you're kidding.
The kids made me cards. And know what they gave me? They gave me their change.
They gave you change?
They pulled their change and they gave me their change so I can buy a can of Coke.
Oh, good. But you didn't get flowers.
I didn't know. No, I didn't get flowers. I always ask for flowers. Everyone thinks I'm joking. Okay. We got some questions. Here's a question. Are you ready? From Anne. She has a question about suicide. All right. So we had all this joking around. But here's a non-joking question. She read someone who said this: a new birth brings about transformation by the renewing of your mind. A person therefore cannot think about committing suicide because it is a pattern of the world. A renewed mind will not accept anything contrary to the things of God. Therefore, anyone who commits suicide goes to hell. How would you respond to that?
I would say that is so wrong.
Yeah, so
that there's so much wrong with that. But let's start at the beginning. Read me that beginning part.
A new birth brings about transformation by the renewing of your mind. So let's
wrong.
Let's parse that out. Those are biblical terms, but they've now been put together in a sentence wrongly.
Right. A new birth doesn't bring about a new birth.
Right.
A new birth is everlasting life, which a person has.
Right.
So to say if you're born again, that's another way of saying you have gained everlasting life.
Right.
Now, the renewed mind of Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yeah.
Paul is writing to people who have been believers for years, and he's calling upon them to experience that.
Right. That's something that it's an imperative for them.
Right. It's not an automatic.
That's the key. It's not an automatic, and it's not a part of that instantaneous new birth that they experienced when they believed in Jesus.
Right. There's a similar verse, although people don't see it that way, in James chapter 1, verse 21, where James says, "Receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls."
Mm-hmm.
Well, they think that's talking about eternal life and eternal condemnation. He's writing to believers. He started in verse 16 and talks about my beloved brethren. And in 17 and 18, he talks about the new birth. And then in 19 to 21, still talking about these born-again people, he's calling them to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And then he says to receive the implanted word, which is able to save your lives.
Right.
Souls there, psuche, means lives. And the point is, the believer applying the word which they've heard preached, that's what the implanted word is.
Right.
They've heard it taught. It's
right.
Not like some mystical implanting that when you're born again, suddenly the Bible appears in your mind.
Right, right.
No, this is through hearing the word. If you receive that, which in the context of James 1:21 through 2:26 is applying the word of God, then you will be saved from judgment in this life. James is saying basically the same thing as Paul says in Romans 12:2, that the word of God transforms our lives by renewing our minds.
I mean, it's not that much different than going to school. Your first day of college, you don't have the same amount of information that you're going to have in your last day when you graduate from college. It takes time, it takes effort, it takes studying, and the same thing in the Christian life.
Absolutely. I remember when I started in college, and I remember feeling like I was advancing each year, but nothing like when I got to seminary. When I got to Dallas Seminary, at the end of the first year, I was amazed at how much more understanding of God's word I had. And we used to joke about that. Each year, you would learn so much more. And one of the jokes was, by the time a person graduated with their Master of Theology, which was 120 graduate hours, 4 years, by the time you graduated, instead of thinking, "I know everything," you came away thinking, "I know nothing."
Right.
Because you realize if I've learned all this in 4 years, how much more could I learn in another 40?
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much more in the Bible because the Bible is so rich and full. And so you're right. We don't start the Christian life with a full grasp of the Word of God. And this transformation of life only right. comes by the renewed mind.
Right.
And that takes time.
And it's not guaranteed.
And it's not automatic, not guaranteed.
I mean, someone can choose, nah, I'm not going to read my Bible. Or someone can choose, I'll read it, but I'm not going to really study it very deeply.
Right.
I'm not going to go to church this week, or I'm going to pick a church that doesn't really preach the Bible very well.
Right. I like this church over here that has great music.
Yeah, I love the guitarist over here. The preaching's bad, but I love the guitarist. So you can choose not to mature in your faith. You can choose not to learn anything. So a new birth brings about transformation by the renewing of your mind.
No.
The new birth happens when you believe in Jesus for eternal life. Now the renewing of your mind happens over time as the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and transforms your mind.
Right. And transforms your behavior through the renewed mind. Yeah.
Right. And now, the second sentence, a person therefore cannot think of committing suicide because it is a pattern of the world. Maybe he meant you shouldn't think about suicide. You definitely can.
Right.
There's nothing stopping you. God's not going to stop you from thinking about suicide or being tempted with suicide.
Right.
There's nothing that guarantees that a born-again believer won't struggle with that.
Right, exactly. You know, part of the problem is a lot of people have this essentially Catholic view, even if they're Protestants. Are you familiar, Sean, with the expression mortal sins?
Yeah.
Okay, so what's a mortal sin?
Well, I think in the Catholic view, mortal sin is you commit this sin and you're in danger of hell.
Right. So it's your eternal destiny is at stake if you commit this type of sin.
Right.
And a mortal sin would be something like murder.
Yeah.
Adultery.
Yeah, maybe adultery. I don't remember.
Maybe homosexuality. I don't know.
I remember I went to Catholic school and it was barely anything Catholic at that
right.
time. Because of the way the government of Quebec was set up. But we did have a nun there, and she's a very nice lady. And I wasn't Catholic, but my Catholic friends warned me, if you stick your tongue out at a nun, that's 10,000 years in purgatory.
They weren't kidding?
Yeah, they weren't kidding. Were they kidding? I mean, I'm not sure anymore, but this is a long time ago. That's not quite a mortal sin, but didn't sound like something I wanted to do.
Right. So you didn't stick your tongue out at a nun? No.
No, I didn't stick my... No. But anyways... So there's this mortal sin that lands you in hell, and then there's venial sins, which are, you know, not as bad. You can go confess them to a priest, and you can say your Hail Marys and your Our Fathers and do some penance, and you'll be okay.
But don't those Hail Marys and Our Fathers and confession to the priest handle the mortal sins, too?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm not Catholic.
Otherwise, how would a Catholic actually... I guess they're thinking they avoid all big sins their whole life?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe you have to get special masses said for you. I'm not quite sure. Maybe you get the extra points that the other saints have kind of garnered through their holiness. Don't
yes,
they believe that?
They do.
You know, they get extra holiness that they can give to other people or something.
Right. I was a chaplain at Baylor Hospital in Dallas, and I was visiting a Catholic man who he said he was suffering with this cancer and that he limited his pain meds because he wanted to suffer more so that he had a super abundance of good works that he could give to his friends and relatives.
Oh, really?
To get them out of purgatory.
Oh, wow.
You know, he wanted to suffer as much as he could handle because it was storing up extra good works for others.
Getting back to Anne's question, a person therefore cannot think of committing suicide because it is a pattern of the world. A renewed mind will not accept anything contrary to the things of God.
Okay, let me just go to that last part. You and I, we're walking with Christ. We're in the Word. We love the Lord Jesus. We long for Him to come quickly. But isn't it possible the thought of suicide could cross our minds?
Right.
I mean, it's not something I'm going to entertain, but I might.
Right.
And if I did, is it possible that a person with a renewed mind might actually commit suicide?
Well, is there ever a point where you can say, my mind is 100% renewed?
Well, no. But my point is, if you're a mature believer,
yeah,
is it possible that a person would actually go there? And the answer is, well, if they have some serious illness going on,
mm-hmm.
mental illness, then they might.
Right.
Let's say the person's schizophrenic.
Yeah.
Well, schizophrenia is not something that's a matter of spiritual maturity. If you don't take your meds, then you lose touch with reality.
Right.
Or say a person's got obsessive compulsive disorder and they don't take their meds. There's lots of things lead to where you don't think straight.
Yeah, what if someone experiences a horrible, horrible tragedy? Everyone in your family gets killed except for you, and you're just so overwhelmed with sorrow that you just want to end it.
And so there are situations where, at least in my estimation, a person is not culpable because they're not thinking straight.
Right.
And so if they were to commit a major sin in that circumstance, it seems to me at the judgment seat of Christ, they're probably not even going to be rebuked for that because they weren't in their right mind. But even if they are, it doesn't impact their eternal destiny because once a person believes in Christ, what do they have?
Everlasting life.
Yeah.
It's
and Jesus says, he who lives and believes in me shall never die. And in Greek, never die is quite emphatic. Never, ever. It's a double negative.
Now, what about this renewed mind? Is it always an upward trajectory or is it more like an up and down thing? I mean, can you ever revert from a renewed mind?
Yeah, exactly. You can revert. And that's why we need, the author of Hebrews says, let's not forsake the assembling together as is the habit of some, but let's encourage one another all the more as we see the day approaching. You know, if we stop going to church and hearing the word of God taught, then we're going to go backwards. Our thinking is going to deteriorate.
And so it's possible for a born-again believer who's eternally secure to have those temptations. And maybe even if there are other things happening in their life, it's possible for a born-again person to commit suicide. But even if they did, they still have everlasting life.
Right. Please don't do it.
Seek help.
Seek help, right. But if anyone is telling you that the reason you shouldn't do it is because you're going to spend eternity away from the Lord, they've just brought in a type of work salvation. So hold fast to the promise of everlasting life, live for Christ, and live a godly life, live an abundant life in order to please God, but not in order to keep your salvation, because that is a done deal.
In other words, Bob, if someone thinks a born-again person can never be tempted by suicide or never commit suicide, or if someone thinks that you would lose your salvation by committing suicide, they need to renew their minds.
They do.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture? Well, that's our mission for you. And one of the best ways to do that, we think, is for you to come to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org, and get involved. We've got free daily blog posts that if you get subscribed, completely hassle-free, they'll show up in your inbox. Those that read them are enriched on a daily basis. So come visit us at faithalone.org. You may be interested in becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this radio show. You can find out how to do that and give tax-deductible gifts at faithalone.org. Maybe you have a question or a comment or some feedback, and if you do, that's great. We would love to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. You can get us day or night, radio@faithalone.org. Well, here we are at another wonderful Friday. I hope you have a great weekend, and we'll be back with you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.